Now, this is not the rapture. We know that the, you know, like I said, the rapture, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word caught up in the Greek means snatched up to rapture, together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's in the air. But that's not the second, that is not this coming we're talking about in Revelation. This is when he's coming back for the rapture. That is, we are going to be raptured. But then again, you need to understand, amen, that this is talking different, because when you look at Revelation 1 and 7, here's what you see. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and this one is different. Every eye shall see him, and they which also pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. When Jesus, in his second coming, it won't be like it. It's not going to be like the rapture, because we're going to disappear with the rapture and nobody will even know we're gone. But when you talk about his second coming, everybody going to know it. Amen. Everybody, he's coming with cloud in every eye. Even the folk that pierced him are going to see it. The people that pierced him. And all of the kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. That is every eye. There's a difference between disappearing without anybody knowing it and every eye seeing it. So the second coming, every eye will see it. Amen. Every eye will see it. Can everybody say every eye?
Every eye.
And say your eye too. Amen. 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 And so Jesus Christ is coming. And when he comes, well, I didn't go over verse 11. I didn't hit on it. But look at when I say chapter 20, verse 11, what you find is that what's great about it, he said, I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it, and from whom the face of the earth and the heaven fled away. So this is when God has made a new heaven and a new earth. But the first one is going to be it's going to be burned up, as we'll see. The world is going to be burned up. It's not going to be renovated. It's going to be burned up. Amen. It's not that it's going to be renovated. It's going to be, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. We don't understand all of this. This is apocalyptic literature, and I didn't get into a lot of the things about some other thing, but I wanted to emphasize that grace. That's very important. So we see that there's a great white throne. Now, we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but not the great white throne. The great white throne is where you stand and you're going to receive some rewards. I mean, the great white throne is where you're going to be judged for your sins. And the Bible tells us that he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Verse 20, the books were opened and the people were cast into hell. In verse 15, amen, this is really going to happen. The book of those whose names were not found written in the book of life. That means that you got saved. Amen. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And so this is a great period, the great white throne. Can everybody say great?
Great
white throne.
Great.
The great white throne judgment. This is a great white throne. I mean, you are going to be standing before this throne, and you're going to have to be, if you're not written in the book of life, you're going to be thrown. Now, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but that's not the great white throne. We'll stand to be judged according to whether or not we use our gift. You can benefit this service in some way, and you need to be using it, because you shouldn't be sitting on your gift. You have to bring your contribution. Make your contribution to this church, to the body of Christ. That's why I like these people, everybody over here using their gift. You know why? Because Christ is coming back, and he's going to ask them, didn't I give you the gift to do that? And why haven't you been doing it? You say, well, I'm sitting down. What for what? I'm going to judge you for what you did with your gift. You talking about you want some gifts? He gave you some. You need to use it to honor God. Well, let me move on. The truth is that this is a, and then he said in verse 12, what did he say? We know what he said. That he said that he, we read it about the fact that he said, my reward is with me. to give to every man according to, amen. Now, that should be chapter 22, verse 12. Amen. Chapter 22. Now, we in the last book of the Bible, down to the last two verses. But in verse 12, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work." Now, this is not about salvation. You're awarded salvation, but you're rewarded for your works. Works are earned. Salvation is given. Amen. God just awarded us salvation. You get it free. But you got to earn some works. And those are incentives that will motivate us, because we know we're going to have to answer to God. If I got a gift of singing, I better be singing. If he called you to preach, you better be preaching. If he called you to teach, you better be teaching. If he called you to blow a horn, better blow that horn. Because he said, you making my program suffer because you sitting on your gift. I've given you a gift, and it blesses the service. Get busy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you said, Peter said, you know what, Lord? We have followed you, and we have left everything to follow you. Peter said, now I want to know what I'm going to get out of it. You want me to leave my house? You want me to leave the things I like to do? And you want me to sacrifice the things I have to do? I want to know what I got coming. He said, Lord, we done left everything to follow you. Now, here we are here in the desert. I want to know what. Let me slow down. Amen. What did he say? The Lord answered him and said, verily I say unto thee, there is no man, Peter, that has left houses, brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and wife and children and lands for my sake and the gospel. You see what they had to leave? All those things can get in the way. They can be hindrances. There are some hindrances. Riches can be hindrances. Relationships can be hindrances. And they had to leave. And they said, Peter said, I want to know what I want to get out of it. They ain't up there, verse 28. Peter said, I want to know what I got coming. He said, look, Peter, there is no man that has left their house, their brothers and sisters, father and mother. And sometimes your wife may stop you. Amen. Some relationships can hinder you from doing God's will. And they will say, well, if your wife don't agree with it, you may not preach. So, well, you got to do what I told you. Or your children, they can stop you. Or your property. Amen. Your land. Your fields. None of these things. And you did it for my sake. I'm going to pay you for it. And the gospels. You did it for me, and you did it for the good news. I'm blowing a horn for the good news. I'm singing for the good news. All this has to do with the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. And he shall receive 100-fold. That's 100 times now. And in time. He's going to receive it now. And in time, houses. God said, I'm going to give you some more houses. I'm going to give you some more brothers and sisters. I'm going to give you mothers. Somebody say, why didn't he put father in there? Because God, we got a father when we got God. And children. I'm going to give you some land. I'm going to give you some spiritual relatives. Amen. I'm going to give you some more. Aren't we brothers and sisters? Amen. You left your brothers and sisters. Well, you my brother and I'm your sister. I got it backwards. I'm not your sister, but you my sister and I'm your brother. Amen. Sister Williams say, my brother. Amen. I like the way you said. She can't keep everything in perspective. We're brothers and sisters. Oh, that's what it is. But he said, you're going to get blessed now. And in the world to come, eternal life. But now you notice that I'm going to be with persecution. There's going to be some problems. Don't think that the devil ain't. Matter of fact, if you're doing anything for the Lord, the devil is coming after you. The devil does not bother folk. You ever wonder why folk hang around things that's got potential? The devil says, I got to stop this. But if ain't nothing going nowhere, he ain't trying to stop nothing. But wherever something's about to happen, where he knows that you can make a difference and you got your potential threat to his kingdom, he's going to get in there some kind of way and cause some problems and some disruptions. That's the way that the devil operates every time. If you ain't doing anything, he ain't bothering you. The devil ain't bothering you, you must not be doing nothing. You must not be no threat. But he hang around where the potential is. He knows what's going on. And he said, look, you're going to get all this, but there's going to be some persecution. It's going to be some trouble. Don't think because you're in church you won't get persecuted. I've been persecuted by folk who name the name of Christ more than I have the man with the wine bottle. I'd rather be out there with them today. Amen. Not what I know now, but the point is that you can get treated worse. There's going to be persecution. He said, in the world you shall have trials and tribulation, but be happy about it, because I have overcome the world. Don't you think that there are no hindrances? Amen. Now, the fact of the matter is that if you do what God tells you, you're going to get eternal life. You're going to get blessed while you're here. You're going to get riches. He said, I'm going to give you houses. You see that? Houses too. If you walk right, if you live by the Bible and follow the rules of Scripture, you can't help but get blessed. Materially, physically, he's going to give you everything you need. It's automatic because of the way we live positions us for blessings. When you walk in obedience, those things come. You don't even be looking for them. They show up. Amen. Houses. Not just one house. You can get multiple houses. I wish I had time to go there. Land, property. God said, I'm going to bless you over and over. You can't leave. Now, he said, now one day I want to hear you say, he said, the Lord, amen. He said, one day I want to hear you say, well done, thou good. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When Jesus come back, and what is he going to do? He said, I'm going to make you ruler, faithful. You've been faithful over a few. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Now come on in. I was watching you. You were down there and you were faithful. You were dedicated over just a little bit. Amen. Amen. You were faithful with what little you had. You brought your little bit to the game. Now come on up. I'm going to make you ruler. God is going to position us over portions of his universe. We ain't got time to get into that, but rulers over cities, rulers over his universe, over galaxies maybe. I don't know. It's mystical. It's apocalyptic. It is something that you cannot, when you look at the book of the Revelation, which is one revelation that was given to John. The word means apocalypse. Amen. But he says that he revealed this to him. And he says in verse 7, he says, chapter 22, verse 7, he says, surely I come quickly. Amen. 22, amen. He says, surely I come quickly. It says so in verse 7. It says so in verse 12. It says so in verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly in verse 20. Amen. Surely. Jesus wants us to know that he is coming back. But before he comes back, you need to understand that people are going to doubt the fact that he's coming back. Do you believe he's coming back? Do you believe he's coming back? He said, the Bible says, Peter already told us in the last days, this is how you know you're in the last day. First, there shall come in the last days scoffers. Amen. People that who are going to be ridiculing you. People are going to be joking about, making fun of the fact that you're talking about Jesus coming back. And you know what they're going to say? The same thing they say today. Verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, we haven't seen. Everything continues just like they were from the beginning. That kind of talk lets you know that Jesus Christ is around the corner. In the last days, people are going to be talking about that. And he says, but now I want you to understand that they're going to be doubters. But understand that the world is going to get burned up. Okay? If you keep studying Peter, you'll find out that God is not slack concerning his promise. Amen. He made a promise as men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that anybody perish. You wonder why Jesus is taking so long? But he wants everybody to come to repent. That means turn away from your sins. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, the thief, you don't know when he's coming. Now, they focus on not on how long Jesus is going to take, but when he come, it's going to be quick. The thief hit you before you went to the store and came back, and your stuff was, he stole your stuff. He did it that fast. Jesus is coming back so fast. If you ain't saved, that's why you have to get saved. When he does come, he's going to come so fast, you ain't going to have time to get saved. It's going to be like a thief in the night, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. He's talking about the celestial. Or when you talk about the terrestrial, you're talking about the earth. But when you talk about the celestial, you're talking about the planets, the heavenly bodies. You're talking about Saturn. You're talking about the moon. You're talking about. He says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Bam! Everything passed away. Heaven shall be on fire. The sun is on fire. The stars are on fire. The Neptune are on fire. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Some people believe that this is going to be a bomb, an atom bomb. Some people believe a whole lot of things. The earth and all, and also the works that are in them, all of the materials shall be burned up. Can everybody say burned up? That's what's going to happen, brothers and sisters. But it's going to happen. It's going to be burned up. The heaven's going to be on fire. Amen. The sky's on fire. You heard of the house burned down. What do you do when the world is on fire? It's going to be burned up, and he is going to burn it all up. And it says that the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, describes the atmosphere in the sky. Everything in them will disappear with fire. Could mean that the celestial bodies, talking about the sun, the moon, up, and the planets, and the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment. And God is going to judge this world. He's going to give us a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth. Amen. And but the good thing about it is his mercy will allow him to be good to us. God has a perfect love, and since he's got perfect love, he's good to us. He don't want us to perish, but he wants us to repent. But some folk going to wait, and then it's, what he's saying is if you wait, you're going to wait too late. Because I'm going to come so fast, you ain't going to have time to get ready. And Eugene Peterson says it this way in verse 20. I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Yes. And he says, come, Master Jesus. I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming. I'm on my way. And we don't know when he's going to come, but we do know that he's going to come. And we have to be ready. Of course, there's a but we finally got to the grace. We finally got to the grace part. Can everybody shout grace?
Grace.
Grace. Amen. Amen. God says that I'm coming, and I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to need some grace. And I didn't put the list on the board, but if you go back, I'm going to show you the reason. You know, you're talking about checking this list and checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty or nice. Part of the list is found in Revelation 21 and 8, one book back, 21 and 8, he says, but the fearful, 21 and 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all the liars shall have their part in the lake. One version says this way, it says that, but cowards, those who refuse to believe, who do evil things, who kill, who sin sexually, who do evil magic, who worship idols, and who tell lies. All these will have a place in the lake of burning sulfur. That is terrible, ladies and gentlemen, to think that you would go to a burning lake. Amen. But that's where the devil and his angels were confined, sent to. And so if you follow the devil, you get what he get. He didn't build it for us. But if you follow the devil, you're gonna get what you're gonna go where the devil is going. Amen. And Peter says, how much, notice what he says, since all these things will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people should you be? Your lives should be holy and dedicated to God. Since you know all this is gonna happen. You know all these things, but you know what? And the question is, does it change you? Does it make you do any different? Act any better? You can go to church all your life. Did it change you? Did it make you better? Are you a better person because you know these things? He said, look, since we know all these things, what kind of people should we be? Your life should be holy and dedicated to God. I mean, amen. You knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back is so important. And the good thing is that his grace is everlasting, and we need some, don't we? He said, he which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. And the grace, can everybody read verse 21? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He said, look, I'm coming back, and you sure going to need a lot of grace. You're going to need a lot of grace because I'm coming back. Because you better get saved and get the grace of God. Because Jesus Christ is coming to town. And since he's coming to town, you got to be focused on some things. Focus on that white throne judgment, because you don't want to be there. Focus on the fact that you got to be using your gift. And focus on the fact that you need some grace. If you don't have any grace, then the fire waits for those who don't have any grace. And knowing this, that Jesus is coming back, it seemed like it would make us definitely change our lives. Knowing that we're going to have to answer to Christ, knowing that, have you ever wondered why Paul, and I'm going to close this thing, have you ever wondered why Paul didn't worry about life? When you read 2 Corinthians, I didn't get all this in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17, Paul did not worry about hospital or haters. You know what he called them? These light afflictions. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I wish you. Amen, amen. Sylvia, Paul says these, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Paul says, these light, he was getting beat by, persecuted. He said, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment. We get too hung up on here. The Bible said that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So it's been 2,000 years since Jesus came back, so it's almost like saying, how long has he been gone? A couple of days. You got to get your thinking in line with eternity. Quit thinking through the earthly. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus came back. Well, when you read 2 Peter 3:8, it's only been 2 days. Paul says that I don't mind suffering for the Lord. And I'm going to close. He said, I don't mind suffering for the Lord. You know why I don't mind suffering? Because it's momentary. It's momentary. These light afflictions, Paul said, it ain't but for a moment. When I was looking at these people in the nursing home the other day, and when I was visiting the nursing home and going to look at these people, if you're not careful, if you start thinking that this is eternity on this side, if you don't forget that, look, this is just for a moment. This ain't going to be long. These folks going to have new bodies before you all know it. They're going to be out of this nursing home. People persecute you. Got any haters? Drinking haterade instead of Gatorade? Go ahead and suffer. It's only for a moment. Paul had no second thoughts. He had no fear of the future. Paul didn't have no fear of death. Paul had no fear of death. Come on, Phil. Paul had no fear of death. Come on. Paul had no fear of death. And the reason why is because, and I hope you brought your handkerchief, amen. This song here is pretty rough on us. But when I cry, I'm crying for joy, amen. But hold your applause for a minute. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Paul had no fear of death. He had no fear of pain, a problem. How could he do that? Because he knows it's just for a moment. Anything you're going through right now is just for a moment. Paul says, man, I'm not worried about this. I'm going to spend eternity with God. But if you make so much out of this life and so much here and forget that this is just for a moment. A lot of people giving up eternity and they're not giving their life to Christ. for some momentary happiness. It does not make sense. Paul says, Paul, you've been beat. And they doing you wrong, Paul. He said, these light afflictions are but for a moment. Are but for a moment. You can be sick and die today. Amen. If you hear 100 years, that's just for a moment. Compare that with eternity. We're going to be a long time with God. And we put so much emphasis on right now. This little 70, 80, 100 years, that ain't nothing. Paul said, y'all beat me and y'all beat me up. He said, just for a moment. Folk talk about you go through trouble, you go to send you through hell, even some Christian. He said, it's just for a moment. Keep that in mind. It's just for a moment. It's going to be over. And since it was taking me so long to get this, if you don't know Jesus, he's coming back. And he said, I'm going to come back so fast, you just better be ready. Don't think that, let me go get ready. You got to be ready. And you can get God's grace today. Say yes to Christ. Stand to your feet. Bow your heads. Say, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose. I accept your grace. Guide me right now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. While this song is rendered, it's talking about grace. If you need some, you need to come down, flood the aisle.
How did I make it all these years? How did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills, I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. I made it this far by the grace.